It's Chad. I'm back again with another episode of Ask Chad Grassy Logic. I'm here today with Kiefer Payne of Happy Panda, as you guys see right here and on the shirt.
Advertise.
Exactly. We're just talking before the show, and I told him we have a blue screen now. So now, you know, most of my guest stuff doesn't disappear. So it's kind of nice that you know your shirt doesn't have holes in it now.
Yeah. Not floating ahead.
Right, right. So appreciate that, Gino. So thank you again for joining me today, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Heck yeah, heck yeah.
Glad to be here. It's been a full year. So
yeah, been about a full year. I see. You know, you guys are coming up, I think, on your anniversary or something like that, right?
Yes. So actually, this Saturday we're pretty much having a lot of, if not all of our vendors, going to be there. Pretty much having a separate 420, just celebrating our 1 year anniversary from our grand opening. So. Best premium time is probably going to be from 12 to 3. So we're going to have pretty much all the freebies, giveaways, tons of things for you. So it's a place and spot you don't want to miss.
Nice, nice. Well, for my newer viewers, you know, could you, you know, tell them a little bit about yourself, you know, to kind of refresh everybody's memory?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Kiefer Payne. I'm actually here local in New Mexico, here in Las Cruces my whole life. NNSU alumni. It's been really, really nice. So we kind of opened up the shop last year. We started Happy Panda. It was kind of like the brand. We wanted to make people kind of feel very welcomed in there, kind of trying to be different from everything else. Kind of opened up shop, made a very, very beautiful shop in there. Started bringing on a lot of different varieties of, you know, products and things. And now we're starting to learn and grow and just kind of tackle this kind of industry together. And it's been an exciting and long journey.
Yeah, yeah. And for those who are probably wondering, you know, why the Happy Panda? I mean, you explained it last year, but, you know, we might as well just refresh everybody's memory.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that took probably a month of just thinking about it. It was like, how do I create a name that's going to be, you know, different from everything else, simple, evokes emotion, symbolic. So going into that, it's like I wanted to evoke emotion when anyone came inside the store and leaving the store. And I was like, you know what? You know, during these dark times, I want to focus on happiness.
Yeah.
And then also symbolicism of a panda, you know, that's something that I also wanted people to feel is, you know, there's been a lot of, challenges in this world and a panda is pretty dang cuddly, you know, it's pretty, you know, clumsy and things like that. And I could just see me on an edible being a panda and just being nice and happy and rolling around. So when I heard, panda, I was trying to put them all together. It was originally going to be like a desert panda or something like that. So I'm just glad it focused and settled on Happy Panda.
That's dope, man. You know, because I think I've told you this before. My favorite producer in Washington is actually called Fat Panda. Yeah. So, you know, the Attack of the Pandas.
Yeah. Gotta get together, hey.
Oh, no. The cute, cuddly pandas, you know. Like, no, we don't want to fear them.
We gotta save them from extinction together.
Exactly. You know, and that's great, you know, that you're kind of, you know, focusing on the, you know, the animal part of it, you know, the panda and all that. So that's cool, man. You know, and, you know, hearing that, I was like, okay, cool, because you have the Fat Panda one, and then you have this one. Of course, you know, different logos, of course, and, you know, do different things. So it's cool to see that, you know, we have a panda here.
Yeah, exactly.
We got our own
panda. We got a representation, so.
Yeah, exactly. So how long have you yourself been in the industry?
So I actually worked in Greenlee in the medical field for a while as bud tender for about a year. Then I started seeing it going into recreational, so that's when we kind of jumped on the process of trying to get the licensures and things. It's been a year getting licensed and, you know, getting the building set up and then opened up in the next year. So it was like 3 years up until we started opening. It was kind of when I was in the industry, but, you know, I was consuming since I was in college. I think that really, really helped just anxiety of things, kind of keeping things nice and chill so I can actually focus on my tasks, pain, all these different ailments that it was actually helping me with. So probably what? 12 years, 13 years.
So. Oh, 13 years. Yep. Nice. Yeah. So it's been a hot minute for you.
It's been a hot minute.
And did you ever dabble when you were like a teenager too, or just, you know, when you're an adult?
No. So actually, you know, I was very, very focused on trying to follow all the rules and things like that. So, that's probably one of the biggest things that I'd like to you know, advocate for. It was the cannabis. Cause I felt it was something that I wasn't doing wrong, but I always was told it was wrong. So
we all were, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, you know, you have that struggle and you're like, damn, man, like, you know, what can I do? But if I get punished for it, this and that. So, I did stay away from it, you know, throughout my high school ages. I think I tried a brownie the first time cause I didn't want to damage my poor lungs. Had the brownie, had a crazy night. crazy night stories.
I see the flashbacks coming already.
Oh no. Yep. So that was probably it. And then, just started going from there, started consuming a little bit in college. It was more when I started getting into it. So
nice. Yeah. So, you know, you've had some experience and everything and, it's cool that, you know, you started from, of course, you know, the college years, you know, getting into the industry on the medical side and then, you know, figuring out what you want to do further from there. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, more people with that story.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of people with that similar story. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Oh yeah, I was in the industry here. And then sometimes it's the opposite. I have people that are like, oh yeah, you know, I was some corporate guy on Wall Street or something random. Yeah. And you know, like now I hate corporate America and, you know, I love weed, or, you know, something totally opposite polar,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
or the Border Patrol agents, you know, there's retired ones now that are, you know, cannabis patients. Yeah. And, you know, like, oh yeah, well, my mindset was this and this. And now it's like an awakening.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was like, holy shit, I really don't feel like that at all anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's interesting because, you know, cannabis kind of does it. It kind of opens your mind to a different process of thinking sometimes.
Oh, big time, big yeah. time. And just to seeing that, you know, it aids people and it doesn't hurt people. I'm like, why are we doing this, guys? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's like, why are we banning this? Yeah, come on.
It's been crazy.
Yeah, I can get alcohol literally anywhere, yeah. But, you know.
So super blessed in the position that we're in. And, you know, I'm super excited for, you know, putting my spin on, you know, that story, like you're saying, of starting, you know, with that kind of negative mindset with it, growing into, you know, I can stand up for it, I can advocate it, and then also spinning emotions into it. So you have your, you know, happiness. I want to make sure people are feeling good and not, you know, judged in any way when they're coming through the door. So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's been
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. And I've been to the shop before too, and it's very lit up, you know, and a lot of wood everywhere.
Yeah.
A lot of bamboo. So if you guys, you know, have a chance, you know, go check it out. I'll talk about that more, but let's talk about what products you have now. You know, you mentioned that you've added more. I mean, no, last year, you know, you were kind of building up the repertoire because I think it had been open maybe a month or two
yeah.
when you came on the show. So, you know, let's update that. You know, what's new for the product lineup for you?
Yeah, I know for sure. So kind of expanded a little bit of the concentrates going in there. So not only farmers quality, we've got a different bonas is going in there. So I think also flower has been diversified. You know, previously we had one main supplier, but now we're able to get multiple different growers to figure mm-hmm. out what the best strains are working for everything. And then we're bringing on mass qualities of different chocolates, edibles, concentrates. I think our vape selection is crazy. So I think just the diversification of the products and the items that you can choose has been tremendous. Specifically, you can just see the growth over the year. You know, yeah. when you just started Hits Rec, cool. Well, now all these different manufacturers are now able to make new products, and now you're able to see those products hit the shelves and see it like kind of just change within the year of like, whoa, like, yeah. this is crazy. Where are we going to be next year?
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what I was thinking just now while you were talking about that, because almost every day I get another ad or follow on my Instagram from a new business up and coming, a new manufacturer, a new producer, a mm-hmm. new retailer. And, you know, there's also people getting out of the industry too. So they're mm-hmm. kind of filling certain spots. So hopefully by year five, we'll see, you know, the best man win kind of situation. You know what I mean? Like, and then
yeah.
we'll have, you know, really good producers. We'll have really good manufacturers, et cetera, et cetera. And,
yeah,
you know, a lot of things will get weeded out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think those just the 280E tax is just going to be one of the biggest things. I mean, no matter how many people jump in, as long as that's there, it's just going to be knocking people out of there. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just going to be one of the biggest things is that, you know, rescheduling of the drug. And we'll see how all of that goes and goes into play. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
I know industry wise, we want it descheduled, but, you know, there's a way things are and a way things should be. And we most likely will get stuck with a Schedule 3 with the way things are looking right now in the landscape. Who knows? They could prove me wrong, and I hope so. You know, that would be nice to have it decriminalized.
Yeah.
I hope I am wrong, and I will gladly say so. But yeah, that's cool that you guys, you know, have a bunch of new products in the store and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the panda in the room sitting in front of me. We'll get to this in a second. So, you know, let's talk a little bit more about you guys. So I saw you have a costume, and I wanted to talk about that before we get into the box.
No,
so you have
sure.
a big blow up panda costume, and I noticed that on the Instagram. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
We do. You know, it's one of those ideas that's like, this is a great idea. And then when you're in it, you're like, was this a great idea?
Right, yeah.
Just walking around, and it's just hilarious and fun because it just really brings up like the life of just the store and our employees. Just seeing any one of us in it, it just like, it makes everyone very, very happy. So we like to bring that out on special occasions and things. And yeah, and then we had a very, very awesome reel of, you know, a panda falling out of a tree, and then we kind of simulated our employee in that costume falling down too. So
yeah.
I think that was just one of those kind of trends that we wanted to jump on. But love the panda suit, kind of gives, you know, that life, that happiness to everyone. And it's just like, it's so literal. It's a happy panda.
Yeah. They're still happy even when they're falling.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it's kind of like just our little symbolicism of, you know, us.
So do you ever wear it around the shop? Like, you know?
Yeah. There's that times for sure. You know, when I get a little bored, I'm just kind of jump in a panda suit and has a little fan in there. So it's just nice and cool.
Yeah. You get the fresh air constantly. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. Just kind of walk around, go get your coffee in the morning and just feel the life of a happy panda.
You should walk around the mall with it, you know, pass out leaflets or something.
I think that was actually what I was for Halloween. So
fair enough. Fair enough. So let's address the little panda in the room that we have right here, because, you know, last time, this is what you were working on, you know, kind of fresh. You know, mm-hmm. is this kind of like, you know, the 2.0 or, mm-hmm. you know, what do we got here?
Yeah, so this is essentially, we're just kind of a little bit evolving, but it's also kind of the same product as well. Yeah. Just kind of showing where we're at now is going to be just with the Stay Happy Panda box, if you can see all that, boom, boom. Safe, responsible use, making sure that we're also following all the regulations of the CCD, making sure we're locking things away from our kids or roommates, people that shouldn't be having it, but... also keeping everything organized, clean, fashioned in there too. I think one of the coolest new brand products that we've actually kind of started doing ourselves is a variety pack. It's kind of like a flight. So one of we started off was kind of panda packs, sampling packs, yeah. and things like that. One of the coolest things that we wanted to do, and it was an issue that I always saw, is people saw all the flour. I don't know what to choose. I want to try it all. But it's just like, dang, I can't solve that problem easily. So now I came up with a solution as to a color-coded system where we're able to get an eighth of 7 different grams. So now you actually get to try 7 different strains. Essentially, it's a bowl and a half. We like to call it a snap pack. So, you know, for those there heavy consumers, yeah. just have a nice little snap of a bowl. And now I know what that is. And the coolest way is now you get to figure out what strains are working for you all within one sitting. I think one of the coolest things there is, like, once you kind of give that feedback, you already know what strains you like and don't like. So, you start to figure out what kind of works for you. And so it's just kind of like a little experience in a box, making sure that kings are staying locked up and staying happy and just kind of exploring the cannabis world in a nice, like, organized way.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I've been seeing these a lot. You guys probably see these on Instagram. I've been seeing the company that, you know, makes these pop up a lot lately.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really cool. They'll have, like, can we open it, pop yeah, up yeah. again? Yeah. Go ahead. Boop, there we go. They'll have like candy and stuff right here, because if you guys look right here, this is where you put your flour. If you're rolling this stuff, and then you can actually scoop it out. Boop. Yeah, if you want to pop it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then what is that right there? Is that,
so we got three different jars going on in okay. there too. So kind of the main theme of it is going to be your here, indica hybrid sativa. Yeah, appreciate that.
There you go.
Indica hybrid sativa. So all these different jars to kind of keep all those flowers for when you do buy in bulk. Got this little brush in there that comes with it. A little tube in there for your pre-rolls as well. So kind of cleaning up all your pre-rolls. That way you can kind of make up freshly ground weed.
And this is bamboo, ain't it?
This is bamboo.
That's yeah. hilarious.
It's okay. very, very you know, fitting for our kind of industry right now. So it's kind of neat at kind of keep everything locked up and yeah. organized. And
a little more eco-friendly as well, you yeah. know, with the being bamboo and everything. So, yeah, you know, and these are cool. I've been actually, you know, looking to maybe get one of my friends one who has kids.
Nice.
You know,
nice,
yeah,
nice,
she yeah. lives in Washington, so I was thinking about getting her one. So, you know, maybe I'll get her the Happy Panda one, and yeah. We'll see.
We're doing a huge special on Saturday for our one-year anniversary. We're selling these guys for $50, and it's going to come with 1 gram of any of our weed. So just choose that gram, and then we'll go ahead and include that box in that $50 price out the door. Anyway, you guys can...
I guess I'm going to have to go get that.
It's a special deal right now. You offer right now, actually. I'm just kidding.
If you want to take this home right yeah. now. You've been selling to me during the show. I love it.
You got to do it. Gotta
peak
do it.
Capitalism right there.
Yeah.
That's yeah. dope. You got a little lighter in here. So this is great, you know, especially for the people that have kids. If you live in an apartment, live with people like roommates that have sticky fingers, maybe, you know, because you can lock it right here in the front. I know the camera can't really see it that well. There's a lock on the front.
Yeah.
Please don't put 420 because everyone's going to know what it is. And you can lock your stuff up and not have to worry about someone, you know, stealing it. Now, they can take the whole box and break it, of course, but that's a lot of work for a couple of grams. So
it's also good for your car, too. So if yeah. you have anything, you lock that away. You know, you're keeping it away from, you know, police and yeah. activity like that. So.
And they can't say that you had access to it, because if it's shut mm-hmm. locked, you know, you'd have no access to it.
Sorry, I don't know the
yeah.
code.
Yeah. some vehicles these days, I don't have lock boxes in them. You can throw it in there to have a double lock.
Hey, there you go.
You know, so, you know, that's another good thing. So these yeah. are cool. I really like them. You know, you can put your papers here. And it's, you know, just a really cool little travel little box thing or something for home, you know, especially people with kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I know these days we have an issue with kids getting cannabis, and usually that is through family or, you know, someone
yeah,
not
for sure. We have
correctly.
Stressed out moms that are having to deal with these kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. You know? Yeah, you know, I wish my mom had cannabis when we were younger, yeah. you know.
Absolutely. You know, they should be a lot more chill.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. So is there anything else you're working on, like, similar to this?
Kind of like a different variety. So I think that is, again, the issue that we were seeing is that people wanted to try a lot within one purchase. So, you know, dog walkers and things like that, little samples of different products. So we have like that variety packs of half grams, five different strains. And again, it's kind of color coded to kind of make it a little bit more eye appealing and fun. But it's also lined up with the, you know, the labels for those that may be colorblind too. So
nice.
A lot of different ways to, that we kind of like had to think about being different and mainly focusing on that consumer, fixing their kind of problems that they're having right now too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just trying to do the variety packs. And I think we're, we're moving to, trying to get these into other stores of those variety packs and kind of our bamboo sticks and how we kind of take those time to hand roll our pre-rolls and kind of take a little bit more less machine approach than more love.
More craft.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I actually had this conversation with one of my buddies before the show. And, you know, we were looking at some certain cultivar from one of the producers around in the area. And, you know, it's unfortunate because there's a lot of cannabis out there that's being rushed, mm-hmm. you know, and it's being, I wouldn't say faked. They're putting a lot into it to make it appear a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not illegal stuff, you know, it's just trying to swell the bud to the most to get the most weight, the mm-hmm. most THC. You know, you have this plant that has so much potential, but we're not growing it correctly. Yeah. You know, there's not a craft to it. It's just push it out.
Yeah.
You know, and, it's unfortunate. So hopefully we can kind of weed that out in the future and not go the straight corporate weed route. Because even some micro grows, I kind of see them kind of go that route to try to, you know, do like a corporate weed kind of thing instead of trying to take
the money
time.
First instead of doing the quality. So I think that's where we also have that manufacturing license to kind of get that quality control.
Yeah.
We're able to get our hands in there and making sure that our products, we have our stamp on of approval of that quality. So
nice.
For sure. Again, trying to solve all of those issues that, you know, consumers are having. So.
Yeah. And it's cool to see that, you know, the way that you've approached it, you know, within a year, you know, like you've seen all these issues that were there, you know, especially with this pack thing. I really do like that pack thing, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, the additional little grams. Cause like, I do like going to places cause I grow myself, you know, like as a grower, I don't buy a lot of weed from the dispensary these days. So when I go to the dispensary, I'm usually getting at the most an eighth, you know? And so something like this, like that's cool. You know, like that's something I would actually want to buy and I would approach that as a consumer because I want to try a bunch of different stuff, you know, like, you know, if I'm going to roll a big joint, I'm probably just going to use what I grow, something like this, you know, that's great to try it. And maybe I will buy an eighth of it and, you know, share it with some friends, you know, if I like it. So,
and I think that's exactly, it's kind of like a party thing too. And like, hey, what do we want to smoke today? You know, this or this, what are we feeling?
Yeah.
And I tried it myself to kind of get that experience, you know, going home was like, ooh, which one am I going to try tonight? Yeah. Like you have a little bit of excitement as to like the different cannabinoids of every single one. So kind of like you were just saying, you're smoking the same plant every time. It's like, ah, I want something new. I want something different tasting.
Yeah.
That's kind of exactly, again, that solves. So yeah, it's been fun.
Dope. Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. For sure. And so let's talk about your Pandaversary.
Yes.
Yeah. Real quick. You know, we mentioned at the beginning of the show. So what deals and everything is going to go on with
it? Man. Tons and tons and tons. I keep on adding more and more as the days.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. It's a big achievement. We're going to be pretty much having 25% off this entire store. We're going to be having BOGOs on Wilds. Cartridges are going to be pretty much buy one, get one half off. I know all of our vendors are going to be giving out a majority of like some batteries. They're going to be giving out lots of penny pre-rolls for everyone. So, you know, it's going to be kind of a frenzy for the first little bit. And then I think the more and more traffic that comes in with our vendors, are going to give it out more and more and more. So it's kind of a lot.
No, that's cool.
It tries to be as organized as I can on that. But you know, concentrates, pretty much everything's going to be heavily discounted and lots of freebies and stuff. So.
And by the time this show airs, you know, which will be the day after the, you know, recording, it's what, 2 days away from them? Like, so the 27th, right?
27th.
Yeah, 27th. So. Look out for that. So coming in this weekend. If you guys aren't doing anything, you're in the Las Cruces area, stop over by, you know, Happy Panda, you know, for their Pandaversary. I love that. That's cool. That's a little clever thing like that. Do you hold pop-ups, you know, very often and events like that as well?
You know, it's been really hard, you know, as a local kind of small business, it's a little difficult to kind of get a hold of a lot of these vendors, you know, specifically in 420. There's all the vendors are taken within instances, and I'm pretty sure they're already booked for next year. So we try to have those events happening a lot of the time. So Blooms, some bits stopping by, we had, you know, cool. Wild and a couple of things like that. So we are leaning into more of having those pop-ups and things just to excite the store a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Cause I mean, doing pop-ups is really important. You know, it really shows being involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So it's cool that you guys are doing that. It allows the vendors to come and talk to people about their products, you know, instead of just, you know, relying on the bud tender. Don't get me wrong, some bud tenders do a phenomenal job.
Oh yeah.
But when the vendor gets to come and tell you directly about the product, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, it feels a little more personal. You know, you get a little personal feel about the company and who they're about and what they are. So that's cool that, you know, you guys are doing that. And I always love seeing pop-ups. And it's kind of like a little special surprise if you go somewhere and like, oh, I'm just going to go here today and there's a pop-up. You're like, oh, dope. Hey, it's like running to a random carnival.
Yeah. I'll get that.
Yeah, it's like, dope.
Yeah. It's a little excitement for sure. No, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. So, well, congratulations to that, you know, on coming to up to a year again. Yeah. Some people didn't even make it 2 years. So, you know, congratulations, man. You know, it's hard work.
It is a lot. It is a lot. We've lost a lot of sleep and, you know, it's a lot of stress, but we just got to keep pushing because it's not just, you know, for me, it's for everyone that we want to involve in getting, like you said, getting that community going and be a staple in here and Cruces and represent something good. So.
So what's the plans for Happy Panda going further?
Leaning in more into manufacturing. You know, we want to make sure that our quality assurance products are getting into other stores. So that way we're kind of expanding our brand and kind of getting more recognition for, you know, the hard work that we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be one of the hardest parts is, you know, with this, you know, saturation kind of issue is it's going to be a long time. So it's been a big journey, but we're just going to keep on expanding, getting into manufacturing now. Kind of see where that goes from there.
Yeah. Saturation's been interesting.
It's been a challenge. Yeah.
So, but anyway, thank you for joining me again and everyone, you know, thank you for, you know, being here with Happy Panda. But before we move on, where can people find you in Cruces and online?
Oh, absolutely. Myhappypanda.com. So check that out on the website. You can always go right into the shopping area. We also have at 2505 Missouri Avenue. Stop on by there. We're always welcome to have anyone, even if you just want to come with questions, we're there to answer them. So just right there, right off the highway.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me. And I look forward to, you know, continuing this conversation. So let's get on to the next topics.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to be talking about the next thing. And actually, I just got sent this yesterday. So this is actually really fresh. So last year, I had talked about a certain employer in the state that got sued for stealing tips. And so they were using the tips to like pay for pizza parties and all other stuff and probably get pocketing it as well. Well, somebody decided to sue and it turned into a class action lawsuit. And yesterday I got the update on it finally. And so got the update and I will update all of you. If you guys follow my socials, you got to read the documents and all that good stuff. That's why following my socials is kind of important because sometimes you get like exclusive looks of things. Like, cause you know, sometimes I don't always have the document or don't really feel the need to show the document, you know, if you follow my socials, you can go find it. You know, it's public online. So this certain employer, they were taking tips from employees. As you guys know, that's a big no-no. You're not allowed to do that. You know, and it's something that happens actually not just in the cannabis industry. And I'll say this now, it happens in the restaurant industry, happens when you work at a bar. It happens pretty much anywhere that accepts tips. And these days, if you guys have been anywhere, pretty much everywhere accepts tips.
Tipping culture is everywhere.
It's getting a little out of hand on certain places.
I'm second guessing every time. I'm like, wait a minute, where's this going?
I'm like, wait, who gets the money?
Yeah.
I have to ask them, do you keep your tips?
Yeah.
If they tell me no, I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Yeah, if you don't get to keep it. So, anyway, going back to cannabis, I just wanted to get you guys to know that, you know, this does happen. It's not just something that is strictly a cannabis issue. Mm-hmm. So certain employers certain employer was taking the tips. Someone took them to court and the update is that they settled, for a certain amount, pretty much outside of court. Mm-hmm. And this happens quite a bit when it comes to lawsuits like this. You know, you'll see them go to court, someone will get sued for something, but instead of going through the whole process or trying to fight it and spend all the money and the lawyers and fees and all that, they'll just settle.
You know,
say that it'll probably be cheaper to settle. So this doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, admitting guilt. They're just kind of like, we want to just get rid of this issue and, you know, we're sorry kind of situation. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this will show people that you can't do that. And, you know, this will cause you headaches because there is laws and it did cite laws and everything what you can and can't do in the documentation that I got to see.
Mm-hmm.
So it did say that, you know, you're not allowed, blah, blah, blah. Even talking about shift leads, you know, like shift leads should be getting their tips as well. Mm-hmm. You know, this and that, so the blah, 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 you know, it goes down the whole list. It didn't state names or anything on the documents. So that's the reason why I posted it. But it's just interesting to me that we're here in 2024 and people are still trying to take people's tips. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's just a little odd to me.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot of places, you know, it's a few, it's happening more than it should. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's something that I feel shouldn't be happening at all. You know, like especially, you know, some of the bud tenders, they do a really good job, you know, and they spend so much time. you know, on certain customers, especially the new ones, the new customers. I love watching a bud tender with a new customer.
Oh, big time.
Like they're so patient. It's like a parent, like teaching a kid how to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come here with me. I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. There's a shirt over here. Yeah. Over here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't go over there now.
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't take 50 this. Milligrams.
Exactly.
So, you know, they deserve a tip. Like, and I'm a big, you know, believer of if your bud tender is doing a over outstanding job, tip them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, if you just have the bud tender that's just like, what do you want? And then like, I'll take this. Okay, bye. And then, okay, fair.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't, you know, they didn't really do much of a service. But, you know, the bud tenders do such a good job.
Yeah.
You know, and in New Mexico, for the most part, I've really noticed that the bud tenders do a great job. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, there's some that, you know, are rushed, but I feel that's more of a ownership management issue versus the worker itself, you know, because that should be kind of pushed by the ownership and management to, hey, this is how you interact. You know, this should be training. So
yeah,
that's just a lack of
secondhand kind of thing for sure.
Yeah. And like, what is your experience with that anyway, with the tipping? Do you guys see a lot of tips come through your store?
Yeah, that's actually one of the craziest things that you bring that up. So that's one of the challenges as, you know, a business owner is you want to make sure that you're doing it right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the hardest part with tips. Cause you know, if you're individually tipping one bud tenders each individual jar, you might incentivize stealing or dropping things off. Hey, I'll give you $5 into your tip jar if you just give me free gummies. So
yeah,
to avoid that, you can also go into like the tip pool. And that's kind of what we started to do is tip pool. That way, you know, the hours that you've worked are also going to be evenly distributed within those hours that you've worked. You know, that's kind of one of the best ways that we can try to make that middle ground of, I don't want to incentivize, you know, theft or anything like that, but I also want to encourage and thank those people that are giving that extra effort to every single customers and things like that. So kind of doing that tip pool divided by kind of where all their hours, and those are the hours that they worked, and everyone gets those that division of it. And I think they're all kind of very, very happy with it too. And like you said, no pizza parties, like,
yeah,
that's their tips. It's no groceries. It's nothing for waters. Like it's your guys's. And then the thing too, is you don't want to make sure that you're also reporting it on their taxes.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the hardest parts with the companies is that now they're also getting taxed probably a little bit more too. So now they're incentivized as trying to not declare those things. And then that's just gets them into a whole lot of trouble. So tips is a very icky issue in business for sure. But just being just, you know, ethical and getting it to them in the best manner and most recorded way should be the best way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And even, you know, working in, you know, the restaurant industry, I was a bartender for a while, you know, those same exact issues you brought up existed there, you know, and when I bartended, we got our own tips, but the way that they did it too, was the servers tipped you out however much they thought you deserved. So most servers didn't tip you out as many drinks as you made them. You know, they'll tip you out like $5-$10. You're like, bro, I've made you drinks all night for like 8 hours. You know, like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like you're walking out with $250, you know, and I'm getting 10. Come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, you run into issues like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets really murky sometimes. So it is a little weird area that you have to play, but straight up taking them.
Yeah.
Is it the solution?
Yeah. That was kind of one of the things. I'm not sure. You know, I did work at, I don't want to name any names, but I worked at a company and, you know, they mentioned that we weren't able to take tips, but they took donations is what they were calling it. So kind of now thinking like,
Yeah. And that actually is going on in the cannabis industry. I heard one of the companies doing that. And they were like, oh, yeah, no, this is for the patient fund. And so they were using that to fund a nonprofit. And so people were under the assumption they were getting tips. You know, I think they called it like a karma jar or something like that. Yeah. So
it's such a sticky issue. And I see it on the business side, I see it on the consumer side, and I've been there on the employee side. So it's, but I'm glad to see, you know, they settled and said, hey, let's make sure we take care of everyone and move on.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, this, you know, fixes the issue for that company in general. I don't see this being fixed, you know, nationwide, every industry that has tips really deals with issues like this similarly. You know, like I said, I saw it in the restaurant industry all the time. You know, luckily the places I worked didn't do that to us, but people that I know worked with were like, oh yeah, I worked at this one place and they did this. And one place, they even paid us like $7 an hour plus tips. And that was actually really good for, you know, a bartender, you know, so I was making pretty good money.
Yeah. Awesome.
So yeah, sometimes you run into that too. You're like, oh, this is great. You know, like,
and it's crazy like that. There's no standard. It's just so subjective to anyone that can kind of set that up. So if there was like that standard of like, hey, what do we need to physically like, what's the standard?
Yeah.
Let's all do it across the board. Yeah. We don't have these.
Yeah. And you know, like you said though, you know, just do it right. Run a business right. You know, like obviously certain companies aren't paying attention to certain things, or maybe they don't care. I don't know. Mm-hmm. not my place, but that's literally what's happening. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, like I said, this fixes that issue going further. We don't see this as much,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, posting it online, I asked the person who sent it to me if I could send it. They're like, sure. And I made sure there's no identifying markers and mm-hmm. all that. But, you know, so now people are aware, and, you know, we might see, I don't know, I hope not, but we might see more lawsuits because of this, mm-hmm. you know? And luckily not everybody's doing this, so it won't be like a ton of lawsuits, but those of you who are affected, you know, the story was pretty much for you. You might be going through this right now. Mm-hmm. There are avenues and routes to go. The post is on my page. I think the company who, is in charge of that lawsuit's on there. If you can find them, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they'll be able to help you. Other than that, that's the information I have. Mm-hmm. Cause a few people have asked me and I'm like, I don't know. I was just sent this. I was just, you know, putting out what I know. Yeah. So I'm sure we'll get more information as time goes. But as of right now, no ruling was made. It was just, you know, they settled out of court and, you know, someone got money.
Yeah.
You know, and so it looks like some people are going to get some of their tips back. So
retribution,
that's
yep.
Yeah. So, but anyway, we're going to move on to the next topic. That's really all I had on that one. You know, it was a pretty short one. And this last one, actually, and it's actually a pretty quick episode today. We got through it really fast.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about cannabis on the international debate right now. So the UN also does not like cannabis. There's actually a bunch of treaties that the United States is a part of where we said we will not have said drug. We will not allow said drug to be recreational legal, you know, this and that. We won't allow it for this. And so a bunch of countries went on and signed it. You know, I think we signed on in the 60s or 70s or something like that. And so now with the shift of cannabis policy and even psilocybin, you know, some of these treaties are kind of in question, you know, and a lot of people are interpreting them different ways. So Senator Mitt Romney, he is a big opponent of cannabis legalization. Always has been. Does not like it. Doesn't think it should be legal. But, you know, he's on the same side as a bunch of other Republicans who believe the same. You know, they're historically known to not like cannabis. And so this is proving it right here because he's saying we would be in violation of international treaties, treaty agreements, if we legalize cannabis. And to me, I'm like, that just seems like a cop-out. Like, we can't do it. And he even talked to the DEA and told them, we can't do it, this and that. No, which is fine because then you have on the opposite side, you have other, you know, senators and House representatives saying the opposite, you know, saying we should legalize cannabis. There shouldn't, you know, be a fear, blah, blah, blah. Look at Canada, look at Germany, look at Uruguay. I don't know if Uruguay is part of the UN. I haven't looked it up. But I know Canada and Germany is. And I even looked up at the treaties. They signed the treaties in the 60s and 70s as well. And so they're a part of these treaties and they're not getting harassed at all. Even Justin Trudeau, the, you know, Prime Minister of Canada, he mentioned that, yeah, you know, we've had legal cannabis for a while and, you know, we haven't had any punishment or anything from the UN like they say would happen, said would happen. So to me, it's a lot of fear mongering.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know about you, what you think about it, but to me, it's just kind of a lot of just fear mongering still, a lot of reefer madness.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's one of the hardest parts too, is, you know, you're going to like, you have the pros and the cons, you have the pro, you know, fours, the against, and like you're saying, they're just trying to vocalize their opinions and stuff. But ultimately it should just come down to the science that has been delivered to the DEA of like, hey, like
yeah,
not harming anyone and take into consideration of, you know, like you just said, with Canada and all that. So it's just, yeah, just, I think kind of fear-mongering.
just fear-mongering on a, like a large scale, really. And that's unfortunate because some of that is still left over from the reefer madness era. You know, and I've mentioned this before on the show. I'm working to get us a medical psilocybin program here in New Mexico. And I'm learning psilocybin doesn't have the same stigmas as cannabis. And it's wild. I'm like, that one makes you like trip balls though. You know, like, you know, I'm like, that's kind of crazy. But cannabis, for some reason, oh my God. Like, so it's been demonized for so long that it's just stuck in people's head that this is bad. But then they're sitting there sipping on, you know, a bottle of wine.
Whiskey and wine.
Yeah, you know, whole drink down and stuff. And then, like, it just...
killing their liver.
But yeah, you know, I'm the bad guy. So it's just, it's a little interesting to see the different mindsets, the reason why they think this way. Because, you know, growing up, we dealt with the DARE program. You know, I remember that stupid thing, you know, signing the little... whatever thing that I will not ever use drugs and, you know, the Dare Lion and wearing the t-shirt and, you know.
Yeah, I really failed Dare there, didn't I?
Oh, all of us did.
Yeah, now we're all sound. And,
I found out the other day, though, that Dare actually took cannabis off of their little thing.
Hey,
so that's good to hear. Yeah, and I found out a couple years ago that they're kind of swapping from like, you know, just drugs to kind of try to help people with like homelessness and stuff like that. So they're trying to get around what they were trying to do before, and kind of, they're kind of just pushing stigmas, you know, and it wasn't cool, you know? Yeah, and so they kind of changed it up, and, you know, they're kind of going with a better approach than what, you know, they're going before. So that was, it's good to see it, to be honest. It's a lot of good progression going on with cannabis. You know, like you guys know, the DEA still is reviewing the cannabis scheduling, so we're still waiting on that. All the while, we still have the Border Patrol issue going on here. No update for that, so I'm not going to update you guys on that. But I still, let's get back to this whole international thing. There's a couple of quotes I wanted to read off, you know, that was really interesting. So after Mitt Romney said all this stuff, and I mentioned a couple of weeks ago on the show, this is kind of what people are saying back to his, that this is the rebuttal.
Okay.
And so, you know, he claims, oh, we're not going to be able to do it. We can't go past Schedule 2. You know, we're going to be not in compliance with the UN. You know how I feel about treaties.
One's been broken already.
Yeah, exactly. You know how I feel about treaties. So let me read a couple of quotes for you guys here. And this first one is from a couple of advocacy groups and a couple other people around the nation that, you know, kind of sent in a letter. I think there's over 50 in a couple of the businesses. So there's quite a few people that are giving the rebuttal. It says, your letter cites a 1977 decision from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit describing obligations under single convention that would not be met if cannabis were reclassified under Schedule 3. It says, however, in many years since the court weighed in, the UN Commission on Narcotics Drugs voted to reclassify cannabis in recognition of its medical uses. Moving marijuana to Schedule 3, as recommended by HHS, simply acknowledges that this is accepted reality. Now, this is true. I've read, you know, part of the treaty and everything, and it does state that we can do it for medical purposes, and we wouldn't be, you know, violating the treaty. But at the same time, you know, I will refer back to Canada and Germany. You know, by default, I'm just like, okay, but what about Canada and Germany? You guys still aren't really answering my question here. You know, so, and here's a second quote that I found too. The U.S. is not required under any applicable treaty to keep cannabis at Schedule 1 or 2 under the CSA, so long as certain requirements are met. The drug treaties provide the U.S. with flexibility to classify relevant substances based on scientific medical evidence, which the HHS has done. And I lost my spot. to classify evidence according to domestic laws such as the CSA. Department of State addresses this in the fall of 2023 during an intersessional meeting of the UN's Commission of Narcotics and Drugs. So I did see where they said that, yeah, and that's where the medical part comes from them, and saying, yeah, you can do it. But then I saw somewhere later on that they came back and they said something about, no, it can only be Schedule 2, but, you know, Schedule 3 for us in America is medical. So maybe there's a little bit of something in there that needs to be worked out on their side. I don't know. But to me, a lot of these are out of date. They started in the 60s and 70s, you know, like right at the peak of, you know, reefer madness, right when the drug war was just starting to get kicking. And so I think all of these treaties kind of need to be looked at again and changed. I still say we should just still do it and not really worry about it, because what are they really going to do other than give us a fine?
You know? Another thing is, it's like they're looking for kind of an excuse to not do it instead of looking for a solution to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it's just crazy to me. Like, they're going through that much lengths of, you know, what about this, you know, 1932 law?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what about this 1877 treaty or something ridiculous? You're like, what?
Yeah, you're right.
It's like, oh, yeah, totally. That makes total sense. Yeah. So my thing is, you know, say it again, Canada and Germany, you know, like, why isn't there a big deal being brought up with them? You know, and for me, for the most part, it's most of our government is making it the big deal, not really the UN. The UN is just saying, yeah, that's correct. You know, and like, you will this and this and this, just like any law enforcement, just like we're dealing with the Border Patrol thing. You know, they're over there doing their job, and, you know, they have no choice but to enforce federal law. You know, we hate it. You know, those guys, some of them say they hate it, which, you know, I don't know. But, you know, that's, it is what it is, pretty much, is what the UN is saying. And I think the US should just say, screw that, and we'll just legalize it. You know, because that's a little ridiculous. I just wanted to bring this up, though, because now on international levels, cannabis is being brought up in, you know, very serious conversations. And I think us testing the waters is a good thing. You know, we tested the waters with the CCD, and we found out on 420 what our limits are. You know, we found that out very quickly. So now we're finding out what our limits are with this. But I kind of feel that we'll be safe just for the sole fact that there's been other countries that have done it before us and they've had no issues at all. And I'll look up if Uruguay is a part of these treaties too, because I kind of thought of that. I don't think they are, but I'll look it up anyway, because now it's on my mind.
Right. And if they were able to make it happen, exactly, why can't we make it happen? And, you know, majority of the nation is that, you know, for cannabis. So why wouldn't the nation then listen to the people?
Yeah. And it's an election year, so things get weird,
you
know, and that's why we're waiting so long for, you know, the DEA to make their announcement, is because it's an election year. Some people speculated, well, here's something on 420. Well, here's something on this day, but those days never came. And so now we're sitting here, you know, still waiting. So please, DEA, hurry up.
That was it. They were like, okay, let's do it.
Thanks. Yeah, all the watching. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shot, Chad.
My DEA agent told them, yes.
Finally.
The guy watching that's spying on me, yes. He told them. So, but that's all I have for the UN thing. I'll keep you guys updated on it. That was pretty much the rebuttal to what, you know, Senator Mitt Romney had said about the whole cannabis thing. To me, it's just a big old mess full of, you know, a bunch of bureaucracy crap and a bunch of treaties. So I say just screw it. One more thing before we go. And this just came out before the show. It looks like the FTC announced that they're going to ban non-compete agreements. So those are going to be no longer a thing. And I believe from this, what I've found so far, that even if you have a current one, it'll just be void and, you know, you'll be able to work in the industry again, which I think is great, because we already have such a small pool of qualified people in the cannabis industry already, that was just thinning it out even more.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And forcing people to go back into the other industries it came from or somewhere else. And so, you know, this is great. Now they can come back. And so for those of you who are affected by this, welcome back.
Yeah.
And I'm glad to have y'all back.
Yeah. Big time.
So that's all I have for this week, everybody. Make sure you like, follow, subscribe, whatever you got to do to stay in the know, to make sure you know what's going on here in New Mexico and around the nation. So thank you again, Kiefer, for joining me. Yeah. I look forward to having you on again for maybe the second Pandaversary.
Yes, yes, I'll be there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So I'll see you guys next week, and maybe I'll see you this weekend over at Happy Panda. You know, maybe get me this little box for my best friend. So I'll see you guys. See you around. Shoots.